chapter 4. I will mention another verse, but I won't actually begin there as far as reading. 2 Corinthians 5, I'll just quote that, where it says, "And he hath made him to be sin for us." Mm-hmm. I talked about that some last week. I was going to talk about it some more, but I'm not, because I want to move along. I want to get to this point of faith is reckoned. But that passage, 2 Corinthians 5:21, says, "He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." And then the last phrase is, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Two things before I start in Romans 4 concerning that. One, the word "might" there is not a word of possibility if man does something. That's the way it's usually taught. Because we know what the Apostle Paul has clearly established in, what is it, Romans chapter 5. And I did read that, verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one," what? "Shall many be made righteous." The word "might" there is not the word of possibility if, but it is the word of future. Amen. That's why the word "might" is used there. We sometimes say, "Well, I might do this." That's the word of possibility. You know what I'm saying? I might do this or I might do that. That's the "might," the word "might," possibility. The word "might" here is future. Because when Christ Jesus suffered on that tree, he did not automatically make us righteous.
Exactly.
He did not automatically. We were not born righteous. Nope. We were born dead in trespasses and in sins.
Amen.
But let me read here. Let me just go now and we're look at this. We're looking at this. "Shall he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." That's God the Father made the Son to be sin for us who know no sin, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now we're going to look at how this takes place. Romans chapter 4, and I want to read the whole chapter. So I will read through it, and then I will go back and make some statements about it. Romans 4, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath to glory," the whereof is fine, "but he hath to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works."
Amen.
"Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin."
Amen.
Now, let me just stop and say there are two reasons and two reasons only for which sin is not imputed. Or I should say, when sin is not imputed, not for which. In which or when sin is not imputed. One, when there is no law. The book says that.
Yeah.
And I don't have to sit here and argue about it or for it, try to make it logical or rational. It doesn't matter. The book says that. When there is no sin, sin is not imputed. But there's only one other time when that's true. That's when God refuses to.
Amen. That's it.
That's when God refuses to.
Amen.
"Cometh then," verse 9, "cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" And then he answers, "Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of the circumcision, to are them to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith our father Abraham had, Abraham, which he had, yet being uncircumcised. That is, it does not, Scripture is not teaching you have to be uncircumcised.
No.
A person can be circumcised, but the circumcision availeth nothing.
Amen.
That's what he says in Galatians.
Exactly.
Whether it's uncircumcision or circumcision,
exactly,
that avails nothing. What matters here, in the context here, is faith.
Yes.
That's what matters. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, what? Faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, and now Paul states it again even here,
yeah,
there is no what? Transgression. Now, notice he doesn't say there's no sin.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's something,
yeah,
a lot of people miss.
Yeah.
He doesn't say there's no sin, because remember, he's already, he will go on to say, even though some did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression, nevertheless, death reigned.
Amen.
Because why? Sin was in the world. But here, where there is law, there is no transgression. To transgress actually means to actually go against a law.
Exactly.
Okay? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who, now it's talking about Abraham again, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And remember, she had two things going against her. One, she was barren from the get-go.
Yeah.
Not just her age wasn't just the problem.
Yeah.
She was barren from the get-go. Then not only that, she had passed the normal age in which men, women usually even bore children.
Yes, sir.
That's hoping against hope.
Yep.
Is it not? What? He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that is, what God had promised, God was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. But it's not just a nice history lesson, is it?
Exactly.
That's what I'm putting that in there now.
Yeah.
It's not just a nice history. Is this not just about Abraham?
Yeah.
Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What shall be imputed? Righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Because righteousness must be imputed.
Yes.
Why? Because I have none.
Exactly.
I have none. That's why it has to be imputed. I have none. As a matter of fact, even my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. It's not just my worst deeds that go against me, Joe. Even my best deeds go against me.
Exactly.
In the flesh.
Yeah.
That's the whole context. What shall we say that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Not even the law, because when Abraham existed, there was no law.
That's right.
But certain things were still considered wrong.
Yes, sir.
Weren't they? Certain things were still understood to be wrong, but there was no law. But let me go on. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, the point is this. I made this statement. Faith itself is reckoned, not just righteousness. What most people think, the reason I know it's most people, even though I haven't read most people, the majority of the people I have read always talk about it in this light. Now, it doesn't matter. The question here is not about faith or where it comes from. That's not the point here. That's certainly a valid point. That's where faith comes from. Who gives faith? How do you have it? How do you get it? You know, all of those things are certainly valid. But passing that for a moment, if I have faith, most people think what you do is, I have faith, and then God imputes to me righteousness because of that faith.
Yeah, that's the way they teach it.
Isn't that what's most taught most places?
Yeah, you're right.
That's what most commentaries will teach.
Yeah, right.
As a matter of fact, even amongst some free grace, amongst most free grace people, because I've read a lot of them,
yeah.
Not all of them, I haven't even read most of them, but the majority of them that I read put it this way: God gives us the gift of faith. Thus we believe on God, and then God imputes to us righteousness because of that. That is not what this teaches right here.
Yes, sir. You're right.
When God gives you faith, He's given you righteousness.
Amen.
Because faith is the righteousness that is imputed.
Exactly.
Faith itself is imputed.
That
is put to your account. And remember, the account is right here in us. It's in the heart.
Sir.
It's not up in heaven somewhere in some celestial heavenly bank.
Yeah, exactly.
The Apostle Paul goes on in chapter 10 and says this: for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Right? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not made to get it. You don't even believe to get righteousness. It's with the heart man believeth what? Unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now first of all, in Romans chapter 4 verse 9, we find the statement that faith itself is reckoned. Okay, look at it, verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? That is, let me put it this way. Does it come upon Jews only? I can put it that way. That's another way of putting it. Because we're talking about circumcision. And here Paul's not talking about just some kind of medical thing done for health reasons. That's not the point here. This was a religious sign, a seal. Okay? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision, and only actually isn't there. Does it come upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? So we see the only could apply. But here's the thing. For we say that what? Now notice it doesn't say, for we say that righteousness was reckoned to Abraham because of faith. Does it? Yet that's what's generally taught.
Oh, yeah.
What Paul actually says is, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness.
Amen.
In other words, the faith Abraham had was the righteousness God Almighty demanded.
Yes, sir.
And the faith that Abraham had was the righteousness God imputed.
Amen.
God gave him the very thing he needed to have.
Exactly.
That's what he's teaching.
Yep.
Faith does not operate. Now, I know we say this, and I'm not trying to be mean, but if you think I am, tough. Because that's just the way it is. This is the way it is. Because it's according to what the Word says, not according to the way we think. Faith does not operate in the realm of our fallen nature.
Exactly.
Okay, now, we believe that here. You've been taught that before I even came along, you were taught that. After I came along, you were still taught that. Okay? And God willing, after I'm gone, we'll still be taught that here. Okay? And I say we'll because we're still of the same body, of the same group of people, whether I'm here or not. But again, faith does not operate in the realm of our fallen nature, and then we'll turn around, me included, we'll turn right around and then talk about faith in terms of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you what I'm talking about. Now, first of all, let me prove this from Scripture. Faith does not operate in the realm of our fallen nature. And one of the reasons this is important is because most people think faith is what we come up with for God. Right? Faith's kind of what we come up with.
Oh, yeah.
They even talk about exercising faith. Faith is exercised. And when it's exercised, it's called believing. And I'm going to jump ahead, but let me tell you something. Faith and believing ain't different. Believing is simply the active part of faith.
Yeah.
It's not different.
Exactly.
There are times when I probably have stated it as though it's different, but it ain't.
Yeah.
And that might not be good English, but it's good doctrine because it's the truth. So again, faith does not operate in the realm of our fallen nature. That's why Paul begins by saying, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to what? The flesh. What's he talking about flesh? Just your body? Faith is in my body. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in me.
Yeah.
But he's not talking simply about the flesh here. It's not just the body.
Exactly.
Now granted, it's the exact same Greek word, flesh, sarx, you know, this, that. But here Paul's not talking about what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the body hath found. Is that what he means? No. What he's saying is what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to our Adamic nature. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Which is, it's already established in verse 3, what? There is no righteousness there.
Exactly.
Right? There's none righteous. No, not one. But then in chapter 4, he says there are some people that are righteous.
Yep.
Right? But the difference must be this separation between flesh and spirit.
Exactly.
Which Paul is then quite clear in Romans 7, as I've pounded and I'll keep pounding it, because there is the touchstone truth. I know that in me, and then what does he say in Romans 7?
Yeah.
That is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Why? Because in me, in my body, dwells God Almighty himself.
Yes, sir.
My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he is God Almighty.
Amen.
And Joe, I believe it means exactly what it says. I believe every believer has God himself dwelling in us. And that is called the Spirit of Christ, right?
Yeah.
Which is in you. That's what the book says. Which is called Emmanuel.
Amen.
Which is what? God near us? God all around us? It's more than that. That certainly would be included, but it's deeper than that. It is Emmanuel. It is God what? With us. And with means here in the Greek here. So what shall we say then to Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified, and notice he doesn't say law.
Yeah.
Because there was no law given yet. The law had not been given yet, had it?
Yeah.
For if Abraham were justified by what? Effort.
Yeah.
That's the word there. Yeah. You see, most of us, when we think of works, what do we think of? We think of what we think of.
Yeah.
We, now say it. I wasn't being redundant. I said, when we think of works, what do we think of? When we think of works, we think of what we think of as good works.
Exactly.
Right? Works. What's going to be good works? No, it means any work. No effort of the what? Flesh.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Now, chapter 3. There's another thing. Remember, here's what I'm trying to show from Scripture. Faith does not operate in the realm of our fallen nature. Here's another one. Chapter 3, verse 27. Where is boasting then?
Yeah. Exactly.
Where's boasting? It is excluded.
Yes.
Right? In other words, there is no boasting.
That's right.
There is no boasting. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. And notice this, but by the what? And it's almost what we would call, it's almost what we would call, what some men would call a contradiction. Because he says, by the law of works, by the law of faith.
Yeah.
You remember what Paul said about the law is not of faith.
Yeah.
But here Paul's not talking about Mosaic law.
Yeah.
But he's talking about authority, because the law, Mosaic law, is authority.
Yes, sir.
It's God's authority of what is right and what is wrong. And that's the problem with some of those people. They do those books and those Sabbatarians. They like the ten.
Yeah.
And they try that book tries to separate the ten from all the other laws. You can't do it.
Exactly.
You can't do it. They try to separate the law into moral and ceremonial. And usually when they go separate moral and there are some ceremonial laws and there are some moral laws. Yeah. But there are far, far more than just ten moral laws.
Yes, sir.
Far more than ten.
Yes, sir, exactly.
What does he say? Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what authority? Of works? No, but by the authority of faith. Faith is an authority. Right? Faith is not some thing in us that we present to God and he says, well, that's good enough. That'll do. You can't keep the law, but if you come up with faith, I'll accept that. That's what most people are preaching today.
You're right.
Let me say this. Faith is an authority because faith resides intrinsically in God and God alone. Faith is I won't say whether it's a characteristic or whatever, you know, as opposed, it's a quality of God alone.
Amen. That's it.
People use, and I know I've said this over and over again, but the reason I do, and sometimes the reason I use some of these more simple illustrations is because, you know, sometimes we just don't get it. And we're not going to get it until God Almighty opens our eyes to get it. And you don't have to have something deep to get it when God opens your eyes. When God opens your eyes, all you need is the simplest illustration of divine truth, isn't it? Most people say, well, you got faith. When you plant a seed, that seed will grow. That's not the kind of faith the Scripture is talking about.
Exactly.
Because the Scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin.
Amen.
So that kind of faith is what?
Yes.
Sin.
Exactly.
Sin.
That's it.
All right, now let me go to the next passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now this will be very familiar, but look at what, you know, oftentimes we see these things. I know this is true of myself, and I'm sure it's true of you as well. Because you know why? You're no different than I am. And you know this. Look at it. Verse 29, 1 Corinthians 1. What? That no, what? Flesh should glory in his presence. Now, let me tell you something. There is one body that glories in God's presence.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the body of the Son of God himself. He's not talking simply about bodies here.
Yeah.
That no, what? Flesh. No Adamic nature will ever, what? Glory in God's presence.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. So again, I say, faith does not operate in the realm of fallen nature, of our fallen nature. Galatians chapter 3. Turn over there. Another familiar one. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now let us never think that because we're redeemed of God, regenerated by God, and even converted by God, that means we're above being deceived. Because we're not, because we still have what? Flesh. And flesh feeds on deception.
Yes, sir.
Oh, foolish Galatians. And if you conduct yourself like the Galatians was, and somebody says you're a fool, then I will try to say it right this time. Maybe I won't. If I said Snow White last time. Who was it? Cinderella, if the shoe fits, wear it. Last time I said Snow White. I don't know if she even had shoes or not. If somebody calls you a fool, if they call me a fool, and I'm conducting myself like the Galatians were, I deserve to be called a fool.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
We get our jammies in a twist when somebody wants to correct us when we're wrong about something. And when it comes to the Word of God, we deserve to be corrected if we're wrong.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if it's me or you or who it is.
Exactly.
And not with it, well, that's just not quite right. Is that the way Paul puts it? No, he says, oh, foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Now, were they going out and becoming murderers and drunks? Huh? Dope fiends and selling drugs to kids? Huh? No, that wasn't their problem. The problem was they were trying to keep the law.
Exactly.
You should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit? What? By the works of the law, or by what? Or by the hearing of faith. And notice here, faith must come before hearing.
Exactly.
Because it's not the faith that hears. It's that actually what he is saying. It's not a faith that then you get once you hear. This is the hearing of faith. Not hearing about faith.
Exactly.
The hearing of faith. Remember when I started this out, I said faith has ears.
Yes, sir.
Faith has eyes. Faith has a heart.
Yes, sir.
And that's not me making up nice little ditties. That's the way the book puts it. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And then look at, are ye so foolish? Is this the way you really believe? That's the way I'm going to put it. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made what? Perfect by the flesh. Notice the whole point is this. Paul always, every writer in Scripture will always, you will not find it different, always makes a distinction between flesh and spirit. And you know the quintessential quote or statement, and it is by none other than God himself in the flesh, who said, that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh, and that's all it will ever be.
That's right.
And that which is born of the Spirit is just as equally true, but only to the other realm. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. And that's all it ever can be.
Amen.
They never, ever mingle together. They may do this, but they never do this. Now, you know the quintessential passage for that, don't you? Galatians chapter 5, where Paul expands it even further. Remember, faith does not operate in the realm of our fallen nature. Faith is not a part of me by what I am. Faith is a part of me by a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And here's where Paul and me, for the sake of time, look at it. Galatians 5. Verse 13, because we need to get a little bit of the context here. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. And that means what it means. Even in light of the law, you've been called to liberty.
Yes, sir.
Only what?
Yeah.
Well, I'm free, I'm free. I'll go out and do whatever I will please. You best not.
Exactly.
That's not the way it's understood, is it?
Yeah.
Now, that may be logic to some men's minds, but it's not scriptural.
Exactly.
It's not truth. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion, what? To the flesh. But by love, do what? Make sure you get whatever you can out of it. No. But by love, serve one another.
Amen.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now let me ask you a question. If, and I say if only because I can't see your heart. That's the only reason I use the word if. Because I can't look at your heart. If you love God's people, you profess you're one of God's people, and you love one of God's people, is that real or not? It better be real.
Yes, sir.
Well, if it's real, you're not one of God's. At least you're not regenerated and converted. And that's just the way it is. When the script, Joe read it, we ought to love one another. That's not an ought of you can if you want to.
Exactly.
That's either you ought to, but if you're one of God's, you ought. If you're not, you won't. Because it says, he that hates his brother is what?
Yeah.
A murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Exactly.
That's just what the book says.
Yeah.
You see? Just wait, 'cause that's why, 'cause that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye end up not in hell. That ain't what it says, is it? But what does it say?
Yeah.
But you take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You see that? You see, if we turn away from the principle of love, you can't ever get away from it if you're one of God's. But you know what? You can end up walking in the flesh. You can start biting and devouring. You can start nipping every time somebody does something you don't like. Good, I'll take a bite of them. Huh? You say that to me again. And what's Paul say when you start down that road? You end up consuming one another. Because there is no end to that. And that's just the way it is.
You're right.
That's just the way it is. Now, let me find my spot there. I got busy with all that biting and a munching there. This I say then. What's the answer then? This I say then. Walk in the Spirit. And what does it say? Not what do you think sometimes. It doesn't say walk in the Spirit and you won't have the lust of the flesh. That's not what it says. I know we think, I wish it was that way. God didn't purpose it that way, so just quit wishing it was that way. Quit wishing for God, what God Almighty ordained. Don't wish for something God didn't ordain to take place.
Exactly.
You're just wasting good mind time.
Yeah.
What does he say? This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you won't what? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Exactly.
For the flesh does what? Lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. All they can ever do is this. But they never, ever, ever, ever do this.
Yeah, you're right.
Anything, over here's flesh. Anything that ever does this with flesh, guess what it is?
It's flesh.
It's flesh.
That's right.
It don't matter what kind of pretty face it's got on it. If this is flesh, and this over here you think it's good, and it does this with flesh, it's flesh just as well. But on the contrary, but on the other hand, it's equally true. If this is Spirit, and anything over here, even if you think it might be flesh, if it does this with Spirit, you know what it is? It's Spirit. Whether you feel it, understand it to be that way, whether the world comprehends it to be that way. You know why, Joe? Because flesh and Spirit do what they lust against one another. They never commingle. It's just an impossibility. Yet religion's all about mixing the two together.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm not a hypocrite when I sin. I'm both.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner and I'm a saint at the same time.
Exactly.
I'm a person who is flesh and I'm also a person who is Spirit at the same time. But these two never do this.
Yeah, you're
right. Now look. Now, I gotta hurry. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are the contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Look, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're what? You're not under the law.
Yeah.
And that means exactly what it means.
Yes, sir.
Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, and Paul says, here's a list.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he gives a list.
Yep.
And he says, people who do those things are going to what? Actually, what they're not going to. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
But he said, here's another list. Right?
Yes, sir.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Well, but mine ain't perfect. Quit saying that.
Yeah.
You hear me? Well, I ain't perfect. What are you talking about? Flesh or Spirit?
Yeah.
Now, come on. Well, what I mean, you know, say what the book says. My flesh ain't even, it ain't even rye, it ain't even got out of the dirt. It's a maggot on a carcass.
Exactly.
And it'll always be a maggot on a carcass, and it ain't getting better.
Exactly.
And that which is of the Spirit is just as good as it's ever going to get.
Amen. That's it.
It ain't going to get better. It can't get better. It is perfect love casts out fear. You read that, didn't you, Joe? And you know what? Go over and read that. Let's go back there and read that a minute. Now, Joe was pressed for time, and he was reading through a lot of these, but look what it says. Verse 17, 1 John 4. Herein is our love. What's that say?
Mm-hmm.
made perfect. Now see, the thing about it is we're always looking for, what about absolute perfection? Absolute, we're not talking about that. God said it's not good that man should be alone. Didn't he? But that, did that mean that Adam was in somehow bad? Huh? No. It just wasn't good that he should be alone. When you have a young baby, is it a full, complete human being? Yeah. It's perfect human being. But does it still, that mean it's mature? That's all it'll ever be? But it doesn't become, ever become any more of a human. No matter, David, how old or wise it gets, it's still a complete human being. The whole point I'm making is this. There are two different realms. One's flesh, one's spirit. They never, ever do this. But we say things when we try to make them do this. For instance, now I got to quit. For instance, I've said this. I'm not pointing my finger at you without pointing my finger back at me. Now, yeah, I may be pointing my finger at you. I've often said my faith is perfect, but my believing is flawed. Well, let me just call my flawed believing what it really is. You know what my flawed believing actually is? You know what it's really called? It's not called flawed believing. It's called unbelief. Because we believe not how strong our believing is. You believe the promises of God.
Amen.
You see? I believe by the power, the resurrecting the power. It takes the power, the very power it took to raise Christ from the dead is the power it takes for me not just to have faith, but to believe.
Sir.
Believing is even said to be righteousness.
Yeah.
Because when you believe, it's not by you.
Exactly.
It's by God Almighty.
Amen.
As Hebrews says, Him working in us, what?
Uh-huh.
That which is what?
Yeah.
Well-pleasing,
yeah,
in His sight.
Amen.
And look at Romans chapter 4. I've got to stop. Let me just always remember, let's call things what they are. Don't talk about, we sing a song, My Faith is Cold and Weak. Now, don't we? Don't we sing that song? I've said it. You know what? It ain't so.
Yeah.
And what's my believing's cold and weak? No, it ain't so. Whenever anything's cold and weak, you know what it is?
Yeah.
It's called rebellion. It's called unbelief. It's flesh, Joe. That's what it is. And let me tell you, the flesh can believe too. It just can't believe according to the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
You see, that's all I'm pointing out. I'm saying that every good and perfect gift comes from where? God.
Amen.
Now, what's the difference between good and perfect? I don't know that I can explain that, but there must be some.
Mm-hmm.
But good's still good, Joe.
Amen.
Ain't it? Good's good enough.
Yeah.
Let me just put it that way. If it's good in God's sight, it's good enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if it's perfect, why do you need more?
Exactly.
You see? All I'm saying is remember, let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
If it's of the flesh, let's call it that. Let's not try to use, well, my faith's just cold. No, or my believing's so weak. No, no, your unbelief is just so strong.
Yeah.
You remember what that guy said? Lord, I believe. Help my weak believing. No, he called it what it was, didn't he? Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
Amen.
So let's just call it what it is. That's all I've been trying to say this morning. Let's call it what it is. Father, I pray that you teach us these things, not just in doctrine, but in our experience. And Lord, we will not be perfect with our words. But Lord, Lord, still help us to try by your grace. Help us still have that desire, that desire to put the truth out there as it is in your word. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.